everyone, and welcome to the Dr. Linda Mintel Show. I'm your host, Dr. Linda Mintel, the relationship doctor, and I'm here along with my co-host, Chris Weigel. And every weekend we're here, we're doing life together, and we're so glad that you've joined us.
Dr. Linda, a couple of weeks ago, myself and my middle daughter, Julianne, were on the Faith Radio Network page listening to a couple of shows that we have done in the past.
Nice.
And only 8 years old, she loves the show.
I know. She's a really precocious little kid. She doesn't miss too much.
No.
She picks up on a lot.
And I don't think it's because I'm on the show.
Oh, I don't know. Do you think? It'd be kind of hard to go, that's my dad.
Yeah, maybe a little bit.
Maybe
yeah.
A little.
Well, I've got a question for you. Have you ever been given the creeps when someone comes around? There's just something really bone-chilling about them. And here's an example. Maybe you remember John Gacy, who lived in Des Plaines, Illinois, and he was seen as a respected citizen, receiving a Man of the Year award from his city's Junior Chamber of Commerce. And he took a picture with Rosalynn Carter, the first lady, when President Carter was president. And then he entertained kids as a clown at their birthday parties, and people in the community adored him.
Citizen of the Year.
Right.
John Gacy. Of course, the clown thing is probably the pretty disturbing part of that.
Exactly.
Remember
right.
All those clown movies? Maybe
yes.
That was a clue. But you know what they didn't know about him? And this was because he hit it so well. So all the things you just said, you know, took a picture with the First Lady, Citizen of the Year, all these things. But he was a sociopath. In fact, he was one of the most famous sociopaths to ever live. This happened in the 1970s. He murdered 32 young men and buried most of them in the crawl space under his house.
That is amazing.
It's creepy. Wow.
Or how about Ted Bundy? He was considered attractive and charismatic and lured women with his charm. But then he murdered dozens of women. And because he was so well-liked, he got away with his crimes for quite a while.
I know. So it might sound like we're doing a show on serial killers, but we're actually going to talk about sociopaths. And one of the important points that we need to make is that not every sociopath is a serial killer.
Right.
A lot of the serial killers are sociopaths, but not the other way around. But the damage to the relationship when someone is a sociopath is really significant. You want to make sure you don't end up in a relationship with a sociopath if you can help it. So our focus today is going to be on how to spot a sociopath and know the warning signs.
Well, do you remember Joey Buttafuoco?
Oh, yeah. Mm. Oh, yeah.
He gained infamy when he had an affair with a teenager. Her name was Amy Fisher. We remember her name, too.
Yeah.
And then Amy attempted to murder Joey's wife, Mary Jo, on her front porch.
There's more to that story, too, as I recall, we probably won't talk about.
There may be kids listening, yes.
Yes, but when the media attention turned to this story, and it did, as the three of those people became household names, Joey came across very charismatic, like you said, but his wife, Mary Jo, described him as a sociopath. And even though male sociopaths outnumber women, there are some famous female sociopaths as well. There was one person I remember, Diane Downs, who desired to be with this man who didn't want children. So in order to be with him and to win him over, Chris, she murdered her children to get him.
Doesn't make sense, does it?
Well, it sounds like a sociopath.
Right. No. Well, if we look at popular media, we see a fascination with sociopathic characters. Gordon Gekko from Wall Street, Don Draper from Mad Men, and Frank Underwood is an example from House of Cards. They're portrayed as charming, manipulative people who lack a social conscience and exploit others for their own gain.
I'm really not a fan of a lot of those shows, although I did start watching House of Cards. I was kind of curious, but it is really kind of creepy.
Right.
Did you watch any of those?
I did get into Mad Men for a little while,
yeah.
And now that you mention it, Don Draper is a sociopath.
Yeah, it just they're creepy. So I don't
right.
know. For me, it's hard to watch that and be entertained by that. But apparently a lot of people do because those shows are very popular. So the common factor you see with these characters is that they all have little regard for other people.
Right.
Which is the exact opposite of what we're supposed to be as people of faith, right? We're supposed to regard others as better than ourselves. Mm. But these characters on these shows are just the opposite. And it's all about their diabolical ideas and what they want to get, how they get their way, and what they do to get it. It's really creepy.
So what is going on with these people who are sociopaths?
A sociopath is someone who's usually diagnosed with antisocial personality disorder. Basically, they ignore the concept of right and wrong. And they ignore the feelings of others, like we've been talking about. And they can be harsh, they can be impulsive, and, as we're noting, even violent.
Well, you hear the term psychopath, and then you hear the term sociopath. What's the difference between those two? Because they both seem to be very disturbed in terms of dealing with people.
So I had to look that up because I've heard both of those terms too, but I didn't think there was a big difference. And in fact, the terms psychopath, sociopath predate the modern era of psychiatry, and they're both of those terms are a reference to antisocial personality disorder. And that's a diagnosis that you get from a licensed mental health professional according to the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual. So there's all kinds of criteria. You have to be at least 18 years old to get that diagnosis. You can be 15 with a lot of disturbance, but usually it's a character pattern that develops. And so making that diagnosis involves just what we're talking about, this failure to conform to social norms. So some people make the distinction that maybe a sociopath is more of a product of genetics and heredity, and sociopathics, maybe they're more subject to environmental influences. But the truth is, we really don't know. So there are a lot of factors that go into the making of a sociopath. There's family history, there's environment, there's child problems, trauma, a lot of things that plays into this.
So the problem seems to be that sociopaths know how to disguise themselves with charm and manipulation, and that can be deceiving.
If you know a sociopath, you may not know that they're in trouble, but they do cause a lot of trouble behind the scenes. But because of their charm and manipulation, like you're saying, it isn't always so obvious, but they lack empathy. And they have this really weak conscience when you get to know them. They know they're doing something wrong, but they don't feel maybe just a little bit of guilt and remorse. Now, I read a blogger who described a sociopath like a predatory animal looking for someone to prey on.
When we talked about some of the people who became famous for being sociopaths, one of the things that stood out to me was that on the surface, they seem to be just like everyone else. They're rather normal. And there didn't seem to be anything bizarre that stood out about them or warned people away, at least initially. So people don't immediately know the danger that they're dealing with.
That's right. But that normalcy that you're talking about of the sociopath begins to look a little bit too good to be true, especially in someone who is a high-functioning sociopath. So there's actually a distinction between low-functioning, they usually end up in jail, and the high-functioning, which can manipulate people. They can become what they want to anybody else, so they can make themselves appear to be somebody they're not. They can be very driven, calculating. They can exude charisma and charm. You want to watch for these really intense, captivating, unwavering eye contact that they sometimes give you. This person can, with their charm and outgoing, dynamic personality, completely overshadow anyone in the room. They're captivating.
Someone who captivates people, what are some of the other common signs to look for, especially if you are in a dating relationship?
Yeah, you want to really pay attention to what we're saying, because the most important thing to pay attention to is someone who ignores those social norms. So this is the person who believes, the rules don't really apply to me, the law can be broken, and they don't see that the norms in society exist for the safety and well-being for everyone in society, because, hey, after all, it's all about them. It doesn't apply to them. They're above them, so the laws and the social norms mean nothing. And the person will lie or cheat their way into their future.
So what else are we looking for? Because I would think that it would be important to ask the person if he or she has had problems with the law. I mean, it's a pretty much a general red flag to look out for.
I know, it'd be a little difficult on the first couple of days to say, any legal problems going on there?
Right.
I mean, but you really do want to listen carefully and ask some follow-up questions if you hear that, because one of the characteristics is this deceitful behavior. So even if you ask, you probably wouldn't get the truth from somebody.
Right.
And a high-functioning sociopath is very careful with their manipulation. So look for someone who cons people for personal gain or seems to be very manipulative to get their way.
Well, I'm sure there are many other characteristics to look for, and we're just getting started. So stay with us. More on how to spot a sociopath when we return from the break.
Conflict is a part of every healthy relationship. How you deal with conflict is what will either grow or destroy relationships. Do you avoid? Maybe you become highly emotional and then regret what you said or did. Getting control of our emotions is not always easy, but it is possible. Hi, this is Dr. Linda Mintel, and I wrote the book We Need to Talk in order to help all of us deal better with conflict.
Welcome back to the Dr. Linda Mintel Show, and today's topic is how to spot a sociopath. We have a lot more to talk about, but before we move on, I want to remind you to check out Dr. Linda's website, drlindamental.com, and there you will find her blogs, books, and you can connect on social media. And remember, an easy way to know what Dr. Linda is writing about each day is to follow her on Twitter and Facebook at Dr. Linda Mental, and listen to the podcast on iTunes as well. And Dr. Linda, you have a book that we haven't talked a lot about. It's called Living Beyond Pain, a book to help anyone live with chronic pain, and it provides non-pharmacological treatments for pain relief. Did you see how well I said
non-pharmacological? Did you practice that?
Yes.
That's good. It wasn't neuroscience, which
That's
I always
right.
bring up that word. Chris decided he was going to give me a tone every time I used the word neuroscience. There it is. I don't think we have too much of that in the show, so
That's
you
right.
won't be able to use your little tone on me. But we joked about that in another show.
That's right.
If you listen to the iTunes podcast, you'll know about that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, listen, I wrote this book with a physician. We were responding to the opioid crisis, knowing that opioid prescribing is more tightly regulated now, and it should be, but people need help to manage their pain. So we looked at all the types of intervention to help readers sort through their options, better understand pain, so it can be and will be a very helpful and a really timely book.
And it can be ordered on Amazon and at Barnes & Noble as well. But Dr. Linda, speaking of pain, being with a sociopath can be painful in terms of relationships. Walk us through more ways to spot a sociopath.
So we've talked about how the person ignores social norms. That's the big one. They may have problems with the law, although they may not tell you that, remember. They're deceitful, they're manipulative, they're controlling, and they're somebody who does not learn from negative consequences of acting a certain way. Most people, there's a bad consequence for that, so I won't do that behavior.
Right.
The sociopath is not stopped by that. They just keep going. So watch out for that really charming person who makes you feel very special. We also talked about that. Because their charm and their manipulation makes it hard to stay mad at them. They convince you that they're probably okay when they're not.
Do you remember the character from Left Behind, Nikolai Carpathia? He's the character of the Antichrist.
Oh, yeah?
And he is a textbook sociopath.
Oh, really? So it's fitting this description?
It is, yes. So behind the scenes, these sociopaths are lying and telling you what you want to hear.
Yeah, what you want to hear.
Right.
It doesn't come from a genuine place. They're telling you what you want to hear to manipulate you. And this is the type of person that will totally disregard your feelings. So they're charming you, you think, but they're disregarding your feelings. And that's key because it shows a lack of empathy and what we call an attunement with your needs, which just means they're in tune with your needs. They're not, because it's all focused really about them getting something. And usually, Chris, sociopaths do not have close friends. So when I'm taking a social history on somebody, I'm trying to decide if this diagnosis fits. That's one of the key things. They just do not keep friends. Friends are just there to serve them to do something. And that's really important to pay attention to, because someone without friends can be arrogant, aggressive, and constantly fighting with other people.
It seems like because if you have friends, you have accountability.
Right.
And they don't want that.
Yeah, and they don't like the way you're treating them.
Right. I was surprised to read that one of the deeper signs could be a person who grows bored easily.
There are lots of reasons why people get bored, unrelated to being a sociopath. So don't think that that's the sign of anybody who's bored. Uh-oh, they're a sociopath. But the reason that that's connected to a sociopath is because the sociopath needs constant change because they're a thrill seeker and they're looking for ways to create excitement. So they want a new home, a new job, new friends, and those changes bring some type of excitement to them because they're risk takers who act impulsively as well because they don't care about the consequences. So there's a real drive there to have newness and excitement.
Seems like some of this would relate to careless and reckless behavior.
It does, because the sociopath does whatever he or she wants to do and what pleases them. They focus on what gets them ahead, and they don't really care who they hurt along the way. And if the person commits to something and then decides, there really isn't anything in this for me, then they won't do it. And they won't apologize for being unreliable either.
It's like they're playing a game.
Yeah, that's a good way to summarize it, because there is so much manipulation, calculating, cheating, lying, stealing, and violence to get the person's, you know, way. They'll do anything, and they have to win. So this is why a sociopath is sometimes described as a loose cannon.
This is very, off-putting, and it probably should be, because if you're worried that you might be in a relationship with a sociopath, what should you do?
Well, you got to ask yourself, first of all, are your instincts telling you anything? Because a lot of people say, I had a gut feeling, or something was off, or there's just something about that person. You know, because the person can be so charming, they don't really give it any more thought. But if you're sensing a check in your spirit, and that's something that the person of faith can also pray about, ask the Lord to give them some insight and some wisdom. Just don't allow the manipulation of the sociopath to override that gut feeling or that Holy Spirit trying to warn you about something or that something is seriously wrong in that relationship. And don't give a sociopath the benefit of the doubt. Pay attention to your gut feelings that are hopefully driven by the Holy Spirit.
So then why are we so easily fooled by a sociopath? I mean, the signs are, like we said, bright red flags, and they say stay away.
Because they know that you're your weakness, and they take full advantage of that. So you have to know your weaknesses and where you're vulnerable so that you can recognize when someone is taking advantage of you. And this way, you can at least identify if the person is pressing your button. So, for example, if you're really good at helping people, the sociopath can use that to play on your emotions and be someone who needs help. And the sociopath knows how to manipulate that strength in you. They use it, and they try to find that you're vulnerable there, so they'll use it against you.
I see. And what about dealing with a sociopath who is pumping you for information about yourself? They end up using that against you then, don't they?
They do. And so you don't want to give details of your life when you suspect that that person could be very disturbed. They will use the information you give them, just like you said, against you, especially if you try to end the relationship. So the person's a professional manipulator. Think about it like that. Their profession is to manipulate and to use the information to manipulate your emotions or to blame you for what is happening or use the information to get you to continue the relationship. It's pretty distracting. They get you off of the point you're trying to make, and somehow you become the problem. So communication with somebody who's a sociopath should be short, factual, no opinions, no personal thoughts, because if you give those, they're going to use them against you. And when you communicate, think of it like this. If you could read what you're saying out loud in a court of law, just factual, just the facts, ma'am, just the facts. Now, that dates me when I use that. Do you know what I'm talking about when
I say
that?
No, what was that? Yes, I do.
You do know that joke. Okay. All right. So no personal opinions, trying to help them, that kind of thing. It's not going to work.
Sounds like if you find yourself interacting with a sociopath, you might need some help or guidance as to what to do once you recognize the signs. Let's talk more about that on the other side of the break. More to come on the Dr. Linda Mental Show.
Conflict is a part of every healthy relationship. How you deal with conflict is what will either grow or destroy relationships. Do you avoid? Maybe you become highly emotional and then regret what you said or did. Getting control of our emotions is not always easy, but it is possible. Hi, this is Dr. Linda Mental, and I wrote the book We Need to Talk in order to help all of us deal better with conflict. We Need to Talk, available at bookstores and online where books are sold.
You're listening to the Dr. Linda Mental Show, and Dr. Linda has written many books that you can find on her website and online, or look for Dr. Linda's book, Living Beyond Pain. It's about anyone who is dealing with chronic pain, on how to manage pain, and to get their life back. And Dr. Linda, we haven't talked a lot about that book. We're talking about physical pain here.
We are. Mm-hmm. We are. So we'll talk about that more. We'll have some shows on that. Chronic pain, how you can manage that, how you can keep your mind positive when you're dealing with something that's very difficult.
Mm. Well, speaking of difficult, we've been talking about how difficult interacting with a sociopath can be because of the manipulation and violation of social norms that are involved. Should your goal be to stop the relationship if possible?
Well, if you can, a cease contact strategy would be the best. I mean, I know sometimes that's not possible because there are children involved, or you might be married to somebody who's a sociopath, or in cases in which you have a business contract with a person. But as soon as you realize the type of person you are dealing with, the best strategy is to either stop the contact or minimize it or get some help, because you're going to need it. If you can stop the contact, though, Chris, just do it. No contact. Don't call me, don't contact me, no text messages, no emails, social media, and realize that when you set that boundary, they're going to try to contact you and they're going to try to manipulate you.
And even if you engage just a little with the person, they will continue to manipulate you.
Yeah, because that's how they do relationships, right?
Wow.
You give them a little bit, give them an inch, they'll take a mile, that phrase.
Right.
They don't have friends. They want to win at all costs, get their way. And if you give them any contact, they will take that as a sign that they still have a little bit of a chance to manipulate you and to be in your life.
Well, should you then try to explain why you want to end this relationship?
No. Don't do that, because that would be a really useless strategy, because they don't see the consequences of their actions, remember? So you're trying to reason with the person. Here's what you're doing, and this is why I don't want to be with you. And what will happen is you will just become even more upset, and more likely they will use that explanation to verbally abuse you or play with your emotions. They don't have empathy or guilt, remember? And so they'll do whatever they can to turn that and to manipulate you with even your ability to try to tell them why this is a problem.
I'm really trying here.
Yeah.
What if you gave them an ultimatum?
Well, most likely you're going to lose. So another kind of bad strategy. It's kind of a waste of energy.
Right.
Because trying to win a power play over somebody like this just isn't going to work. So the best strategy, if you can do it, is to have absolutely no contact.
Do people stay in these disturbing relationships because they feel like it's their fault, or they fall for the deceit?
I think you have to realize that you've been tricked, and you've been deceived and conned and manipulated. And that might take a while if someone is charming you. So people don't always see this right away. The sociopath is really trying to influence your life in very negative ways, maybe telling you how to act, maybe influence your decision-making, and then questioning your reality.
You mentioned this in the previous segment. It might be a good idea, after listening to this show, to go back to iTunes and find that program we did on gaslighting. Sociopathic behavior and gaslighting seem to be...
they go hand in hand.
Right.
Yeah.
But maybe you think you can help or reform them. So you want to give them more chances or try to work it out and work with them.
Yeah, and most likely that's not going to happen. They have to want to change. They have to be convinced that their actions are wrong. They have to build a conscience. They have to lose their arrogance, their ego, their sense of entitlement.
Wow.
And remember, you want to cease contact, not try to be their reformer.
You're very black and white on this.
I know, because I know it doesn't work when you try these things. There's so many helpful people who go, well, maybe if I just say the right thing, or I try, or, you know, I reason with the person. But you got to remember, this is someone whose conscience has been seared, and they don't operate in the right and wrong realm.
So this is a job for a professional.
Yes.
If you're trying to deal with a sociopath, a mental health professional could be needed.
Probably is needed. And I'll tell you, Chris, this is hard work. There isn't a lot of good data about people getting better. But it's not something you're going to change probably on your own. So I would engage a mental health person, even if that mental health person is to help you react to the sociopath and to understand their tactics and how they're trying to control your mind and your actions. A therapist, you know, usually is an objective party. And they might be able to see things that you might not be able to see because you're in the middle of it. So the work with the therapist is to help stop the manipulation and shut down the impact of the sociopath in your life. Here's the thing. When the sociopath sees that you're working with someone who is helping you stop that domination and control, they might back off and they might look for someone else who's easier to control.
Wow. You see that in dating relationships a lot.
Yeah, they'll move to the next person.
Right. Well, could a therapist also help you recognize that you're not responsible for what happens for that person, and your willingness to help may not be enough? I'm guessing that part of the work of the sociopath is to isolate victims so that no one has questioned the sociopath's behavior.
Yeah, that's always the work when you're doing emotional abuse. It's the same thing. Because of this, sociopaths don't like therapists. You know, because we understand their behavior.
You don't have very many sociopathic friends then, do you?
No. And I'll tell you what, most of the time when someone with this diagnosis of antisocial personality disorder gets referred, it's because they've been court referred.
Oh, wow.
And they're either going to prison or they're coming to me. So they're not the easiest clients when they come in. But it's really best to get other people to support you, because it's really hard to break away from this. And if you fear for your safety, we started the show with a bunch of people that were violent. You do need professional help and a plan for your safety. A mental health person can walk you through how you need to be safe, how you're being deceived, the cues that you might have missed in the relationship, and how that person continues to manipulate you, and the techniques that they're using to deceive you so that you can't get help and you can't get out of the relationship. And if children are involved, you want to get them help as well.
So with this help, can the sociopath change? I'm going to say, based on what you said earlier, it's not likely.
I know. So look, you and I believe that nothing is impossible with God, right?
Right.
But that would require a belief that the person needs to change. Because God doesn't come around and hit you over the head and say, you got to change.
Right.
So it's not impossible. Like I said, it's difficult work because you're changing what's called a personality disorder, which is an ingrained pattern of behavior. And because the sociopath doesn't recognize that they have this personality disorder, they don't come to treatment and they're not experiencing anxiety. Mm. They're not feeling depressed because what they're doing isn't bothering them.
Right.
And they're a lot of times using substances to kind of get by, and they get into a lot of legal problems.
So there's really no cure, but treatment can help.
So I'm never going to say that there's no cure, because the transforming power of Christ can change someone like Saul, who was a terrorist, into Paul the apostle. But without a transformative experience, therapy can help if the person submits to it. You know, in some cases, the sociopath can use therapy as a new game to con people. And you could actually make the behavior worse if the person is trying to play the therapist.
Oh, wow.
But that doesn't mean that if someone genuinely wants to change, therapy couldn't help. So I would say the issue is whether that person sees the impact of their behavior. And sometimes after broken relationship, law problems, all of this, the person might begin to say, hey, maybe there's something in me.
Hmm.
But again, you really have to want to change for change to happen.
So if the sociopath has been exposed to childhood trauma or a parent with serious mental health problems, maybe they could see how their experiences have helped develop these very negative problems.
Maybe. The goal in treatment is to help the person with their disruptive thought patterns, their behaviors, the way they relate to other people. I mean, they need better ways to deal with aggression. They need to understand how their manipulation can be harmful. Here's the thing. There's no medication that works for this.
Wow.
So it's behavior change.
Hmm.
They have to learn to manage their impulses, and they have to be willing to follow the social norms.
Medication doesn't work. Threats don't work. Prison doesn't even help. And even in therapy. If the person doesn't want it. Right, if the person doesn't want
yeah.
it.
Yeah, so that's a really good summary. So what does work? What does work? It's really difficult to do is confronting the problem with consequences. But even then, this doesn't always change a person. So you would think that prison would be that, right? You have consequences,
right.
You're confined now. Christ is the only hope for true transformation. So pray to this end for a person who has this problem. Pray for a person's heart to be changed, to get help, and to receive that help willingly. Well, that's all the time we have today. Many thanks to our producer, Norm Mintel, our engineer, and my co-host, Chris Weigel, who makes this show a conversation. From all of us here at Faith Radio, we'll talk to you next weekend. In the meantime, remember, we're here, we're doing life together, and it's better when you don't have to do it alone. Well, thanks for listening to this conversation from the Dr. Linda Mintel Show. These podcasts are available because of listener support. You can make a gift now at myfaithradio.com. And thanks for sharing this audio link with a friend and helping us grow the impact of the Dr. Linda Mintel Show. Also, take a moment to subscribe to the podcast today at iTunes or your podcast player, and you'll never miss a show.